mesmerizes you into thinking that, well, you know what? Maybe the world ways of the world aren't that bad. Everyone else is doing it, so why shouldn't I be entitled to it too? Politicians call this evolving in one's thinking. But in the Bible, St. Paul calls it conforming to the world. And St. Peter calls it conforming to the passions of your former ignorance. But Satan is sly, and he makes it happen all so easily that you don't even know it. Before you know it, you're saying things like, oh, I saw in the news this week that the Fed has collected a record amount of taxes. Nobody's going to notice if I trim the corners here and there and don't pay my share. Or, come on, television isn't that bad. You're overreacting. How is a TV show going to change my beliefs? And then there's my personal weakness. Why not drive 5 mph over the speed limit? Trooper isn't going to pull me over anyways just for 5 mph. But bit by bit, the human conscience is rewired. Rewired to the point where wrong seems normal in our lives. And it becomes so normal that it no longer is wrong, but we believe that it is right. And it all starts with a little bit of a little white lie or bending the rules or drawing a gray line. But the fact is, a lie is still a lie. When you bend the rules, you've merely deformed them and broken them. And a gray line has just as many black pixels in it as it does white. Jesus prayed because he knew he would be ascending soon and leaving these 11 men to change the world. And because changing the world was so difficult, he gave them 3 specific gifts. Gifts that they could use at their disposal. He gave them prayer. He gave them the true word of God. And he gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. Shortly after Jesus' ascension, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we heard in our earlier text, the 11 disciples recognized that they needed all hands on deck. They had traveled with 11 disciples in the past. They should elect one more to take the place of the displaced Judas. They selected a disciple named Matthias. And then look what happened when they went out. Armed with the gifts of prayer, the truth of God's word, and the power of the Holy Spirit, more and more and more people came to faith in Jesus, making more and more disciples to go out and spread Jesus' good news. Now, as I said earlier in our text, Jesus is praying to his Father in heaven, especially for all, specifically for all disciples in the invisible church. It's sometimes what we call the church militant. Now, that word militant can be a scary word. Webster's Dictionary defines militant as engaged in warfare or combat. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are engaged in warfare. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." The fact that Jesus is praying to God the Father in heaven to strengthen and keep all disciples should punctuate the fact to you and me how important the gift of prayer is. Jesus knows living in this world is hard. He knows your hurts. He knows your sorrows. He knows your sins and all of your failures. And that's why in our text, he is interceding for his disciples. He was interceding for you. And today, The ascended Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he continues to intercede for you. The world is difficult. So Jesus came for you and died for you and was raised from the grave for you. He came so that you would have forgiveness of sins, strength, and the hope of eternal life. God sent Jesus into the world. So too, Jesus has sent you into the world to bear witness about the truth of God's word. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. And Jesus has given you those same gifts that he gave those original disciples. He's given you prayer. He's given you the Word of God, and most especially, he's given you the Holy Spirit. Prayer is a powerful tool. In our second reading this morning, St. John writes, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Well, that always raises the question, well, gee, how do I know when I'm praying for God's will to be done? Well, God knows how to give good gifts to his children. And it is true, sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. But a good place to start is the fact that God's will is for your salvation. God's will is for the salvation of all mankind. God has given you his word. Moral relativism has sort of swept our modern culture, saying that there is no truth. Everyone's truth is up to them to decide. They say there are no absolutes, but God's word is truth. The prophet Isaiah writes, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." It's never changing. It is always there, and it does exactly what it says. By the power of the Spirit, it brings people to faith. In the washing of the water, you receive God's true word. You are washed with the water and the word, and God has given you the Holy Spirit in your baptism, sanctifying you in the truth of his word. The word sanctified has a twofold meaning. It means to set something apart and make holy, and it also means to include a person in the inner circle of what is holy. God has set you apart in baptism, and it's just the beginning of being in the world, but not of the world. He has set you apart into his church militant, a lifetime of becoming more and more holy until it reaches its completion on the day of our Lord's return. And it's not something that you do, but it's something that the Holy Spirit does through you, working through word and sacrament, enlightening you with his gifts, and sanctifying and keeping you in the true faith. For the time being, we are in a wicked and dangerous world. But in baptism, you're also in Christ. You're in Christ, and everything that Christ has won for you on your behalf on Calvary's cross, Jesus has gifted to you. And so by reading his word and receiving his sacraments and sharing his gospel with others, God is using you to change your little corner of the world a little bit at a time. The gospel will never be defeated. The gates of hell cannot overcome it. God's word is truth. And he has given you as a child to live in a dangerous and scary world. He has set you apart in the church militant, where by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will continue to fight the good fight of faith until that one beautiful day when God calls you and says, "Oh, by the way, you have a membership change and you are being transferred to the church triumphant in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.